Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016. Wendy Wilson will be joining us in just a few moments. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
A little pressure on gold today. Not too bad. $4.60 at $1,359. Silver was down a little bit, 0.18, 20.49. Platinum was down 3 at 1167, and palladium was down 5 at 715. And the USDX today, a little stronger, 0.49 at 95.56. Crude oil made a big comeback today, 1.56, back up over 40 at 41.07. Paper markets today, they had... You know, after so many days trading down, even though over the 8 days that it was in negative territory at the close, they managed to get 41 points to the upside today. The Dow has only lost about 1.5% or something like that in the past week and a half, so no big deal yet. 18,354. There'll be days you will wish that the Dow was only down 1.5%. The NASDAQ was up 22 at 51.59, and the S&P was up 6 at 21.63. 10-year yield, of course, is stronger, 1.54%, and pressure on the euro at 1.12. Both Japan and Hong Kong were down almost 2%. London and Germany, European markets were basically unchanged. Little movement there. A lot of things to talk about today, but first we're going to be talking to Wendy Wilson as she helps us in with our journey with our health. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al. How's it going?
Good. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm okay. I thought we'd talk about America today being dirt poor. I don't mean financially. I mean the land being dirt poor, because soil's real important in a lot of ways. Because without healthy soil, we can't grow healthy, sustaining crops, and we can't sustain our health. So we really do need to grow more organic. We need to change the crops that we plant each year and also let the land rest to rebuild the minerals. But we're not doing that. So people have really noticed a lack of flavor in a lot of fruits and vegetables when you go buy them in the store. And when you compare an organic grown apple, for instance, with a conventional one, the organic has much more flavor, crispness, vibrant color, juiciness. And did you know that in 1900, our great-grandparents, they ate about 131 pounds of homegrown vegetables? Americans today, in comparison, eat over 400 pounds of vegetables and 275 pounds of fruit each year. So why are we eating three times what our ancestors ate? Why is that? Any idea, Al?
Because we're bigger.
Now, how about you, Melanie? Got an idea?
There's more of us?
No, well, we'll get to that in a minute, but good guesses. Well, according to Scientific American, our U.S. soil is severely depleted from modern agricultural practice. So the mass production of the food has really stripped our soil of minerals, and minerals are necessary to repel pests and harvest healthy crops. So the genetically modified crops that have the pest-resistant chemicals built into them, they are less nutrient-rich than the foods that were produced in the 1970s. Now, there was a study done at the University of Texas at Austin's Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry in 1999, and then they reported that they analyzed 43 different vegetables and fruits, and they compared them to the nutrient data from crops that were grown in the 1950s. And what they found were reliable declines in the nutrients. And specifically, the food grown in 1999 had less protein, calcium, phosphorus, iron, vitamin B2, and vitamin C. So agriculture is really focused on pest resistance, faster growth cycles, and the size or weight of the product, and not on the nutrition content. Here's a quote from the Nutrition Security Institute. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. They said probably not. The apple of today has lost about 82% of its magnesium and high percentages of other nutrients compared to an apple that was grown 100 years ago. So that's pretty striking. Researcher Donald Davis from the University of Texas, he also stated that there have likely been other declines in nutrients other than magnesium. But he says, back in the 50s, we didn't graph those nutrients like zinc and vitamin B6 and vitamin E. So he says most likely since the 50s, we've lost some of that nutrition, but we just don't have anything to compare it to see how much we have lost. Now, Cushy Institute analyzed nutrition data. They collected in the 70s. They looked at vegetable data from 1975 to 1997. And this is what they found. Overall, calcium had dropped 27%, iron dropped 37%, vitamin A dropped 21%, and vitamin C dropped 30%. And it's not just here in the U.S. The U.K., the British were also studying their nutrition in their foods, and their report was published in the British Food Journal. They looked at data from the 1930s all the way to 1980, and they noticed that calcium had dropped almost 20%, iron dropped 22%, and potassium dropped 14%. Now, what's really interesting, overall, the University of Colorado, they did a big study on nutrients in our foods, and this is what they concluded. They said foods today compared to 100 years ago, he says they've declined anywhere from 40 to 60% with an average about 50% decline in nutrition. So we're lacking vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, phytochemicals compared to what our grandparents ate. So magnesium, all calcium, iron, phosphorus, potassium, I've dropped. Now, Organic Magazine actually looked at specific foods. They said beets have dropped from 1963 to 2000, beets dropped 50% in nutrition. Spinach dropped 17%. Collard greens, 84%. Corn dropped 30%. Sweet peppers dropped 69%. And our apples dropped 59%. So, you know, sometimes when you look at produce and you see kind of an odd-shaped cucumber or misshapen whatever and you don't want to touch it or put it back, well, according to Lisa Gerber of the Natural Society, she says organic produce can sometimes look a little smaller, misshapen, but it's not genetically modified or coated with pesticides, so it's going to be much healthier for you. So basically, our cells need nutrition. Minerals for life and function. If we don't have these vitamins and these enzymes and these minerals, we have problems with our hormones, our immune system, our blood system, and all our metabolic functions. So if we don't have those adequate nutrients, you know, because we'll have a shortfall. And then what we could have is illnesses sort of like not limited to, but anemia, bone loss, blood clots, and brain malfunction. So, today, the USDA recommends that our daily allowance of vegetables, we should have 3 to 5 cups of vegetables and 2 to 4 cups of fruit. Okay?
Per day?
Yep, yep. This is per day. This is our daily allowance in order to get the nutrition you need. Now, our great-grandparents, they ate 0.7 cups of those foods per day, which indicates they had superior nutrition in their foods. And this is what happens. When you have adequate nutrition, the body is satisfied on less volume. And that's why we're eating so much volume today, is because our nutrition is lacking. The body needs more. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. I understand what you're saying. And, you know, one of the things that crosses my mind is how do we replace these minerals, for example, after we've taken them out of the soil and they've been consumed? And it seems to me that human waste winds up being the answer to that question.
It could be, yeah, an organic type of fertilizer, yeah.
Well, and even organic, I wonder about that. I mean, if we're going to feed all the people in the city, it really points to the idea that you're going to have to collect the human waste and you're going to have to use it for fertilizer to restore the minerals that we're taking out. We use them for a while, and then we process them through. I don't know if that's true or false, but I'm curious. Do you think that's valid?
Yeah, you're going to have some sort of natural source, and the chemical sources of fertilizers just aren't adequate. I mean,
well, it's not only
plants,
that. They only put a couple of things in the fertilizers.
Right.
They put a couple of products in the fertilizers. I don't know, sodium, potassium, something else, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I don't remember what all goes in there. But it's not much. It's only three, four, or five things at the most that go into typical fertilizers, and they are designed to make the crop look right, run shiny and big, mm-hmm. but it doesn't put any nutrition in it.
Right.
They are designed to create an appearance, but not a reality.
Right. And, you know, that's the big shortfall of it all. This is why we're so sick and people aren't, you know, feeling well. Now, Arlene Buford, a Mason of the biochemical, she's a biochemical nutritionist and a counselor. She said, these are good reasons why we should take supplements. She says, get a good quality supplement. It will have tremendous benefit. So, and here's the thing. You got to be really picky about your supplements, even, because you could get a bunch of garbage. Because the majority of the supplements in the U.S. are made by companies in Germany. So these companies have recipe books of supplements. They're called monographs. And these are already approved by the FDA. So anybody, Al, yourself, let's just say you decide one day, hey, I want to go into the supplement business. I can make a lot of money. So you're going to contact Germany and you're going to say, you know, I want to have a vitamin C, I want to have a multivitamin, I want to have this, I want to have that. And so you pick a recipe and they'll private label it for you. And they do this for hundreds of companies and distributors all over the world. But the problem is these products are a combination of synthetic chemicals. They have no organic whole food live nutrition in them. So they're the, you know, illusion, as you were pointed out, with the crops. It looks good, but it's not, there's no meat and potatoes there.
I don't mean to interrupt, but is that why, like on the internet, you see all these private labels for various vitamins, and you know, this does this for you, this does that for you?
Right, I mean, it's easy to do it. I mean, if you've got a monograph that's already got the stamp of approval by the FDA, that you don't really have to go through an approval process. It's already been done. And so you can get a private label going, you can get a distributor going, and you can get your product into a lot of stores, especially if you undercut competition. But the problem is these aren't whole food supplements. And so if you have isolated nutrients made from synthetics, there's not the other minerals and enzymes there for the body to absorb and utilize them properly. So your body's forced to take from your nutritional stores to make up what's missing. So this is why people will say, well, I tried this new supplement for a few weeks, I felt great, but then all of a sudden not so great. It's because you ran out of the nutrients that the body was having to add to that product in order to use it. So you can, instead of fortifying, you could do the opposite. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah, I think it does. It's not cause for celebration, but it seems to be sensible. We get to a point where maybe we have to maintain a garden in our backyard where we are particular about providing what that topsoil really needs to provide adequate crops.
Right. Start growing your own stuff. Start dehydrating your own foods. At least you know what you've got there. And the difference between supplements out there, whole food supplements are obtained from a concentrated whole food source, whereas your synthetic supplements are called isolated nutrients. They're usually made artificially in an industrial process with petrochemicals. So if your label on your pill bottle there reads like a bunch of chemicals, that's what you have, synthetic chemicals. You don't have any real whole foods. A lot of people though are getting smart. They're starting to notice. And so people are shifting gears in the industry and they're starting to include some whole food lists on their ingredients there. So that's a good thing. So consumers, you know, becoming a little bit more discerning when it comes to their supplements. And you have to be careful because the pharmaceutical industry also has tapped into these monographs and are producing a lot of supplements. Actually, they're buying up a lot of the big supplement companies. Okay, so they may have started out as really good small and mid-sized companies, and they had a good reputation of making a solid, good product, and then they get bought out.
And that does not bode well for the future, because if they continue producing the product, it'll be done so efficiently that the product won't have much in it, and they'll be in a position to shut access down to supplements. I mean, when we don't have many local providers.
Right. You can use your variety to pick from. As you could diminish the quality out there, it really can. So I tell people, you know, tilt standards is your highest organic level in growing anything organic, herbs and foods. So look for that and in demand for that, because it's going to be the best quality you can obtain. So, and that's what we do at Apothecary Herbs. It's tilth. Tilth is letting the land rest 5 years before you plant a crop, and there's no fertilizers used on it, like synthetic fertilizers or pesticides. So it really produces a very high-quality crop.
All right, Wendy, why don't you give us a little contact information?
Sure. They can call for a free product catalog. Apothecary Herbs will send it through the mail to you at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or you can visit thepowerherbs.com. This is a real good time to get a catalog, get an order in, because we have a new catalog that's going to be coming out this fall, so before your price increase, so this would be a good time to do that.
Okay, Wendy, thank you. Always interesting. Got to keep an eye on everything, including the dirt in your backyard if you want to be healthy. That was Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we're going to carry through the little special, the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 of the American Silver Eagles. The 1 ounce Silver Eagles includes your shipping costs. It came down a couple bucks today, $640, $640. You can buy one or 100 at that price. It's a great little price. Includes your shipping costs. That is a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 American Silver Eagles. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. And you can visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And there's all kinds of things that are going on today, Al. And, of course, we usually stick with the economy. But, you know, during the break, we were talking about how crazy things are becoming. I think everybody knows about the $400 million that the administration gave to Iran in a cash payment. And today there was a...
How come they didn't give it to the Clinton Foundation? Wouldn't that have got things done a little quicker?
Well, this was a ransom. This was a ransom, though. So,
Bill and Hillary, they know how to handle this stuff. You got the money, they can take care of it for you.
But you know what's interesting? The $400 million cash payment was in euros and Swiss francs. And Josh Earnest was being questioned by the CBS reporter, Margaret Brennan. And they just, you know, why is this relevant? You know, what? You're just trying to make a big deal out of this, and you know she comes back and says, "Well, we just want
to
know."
Bribe them with $400 million.
Well, but the point is, it was certainly very private, and it's just like everything else. Everything is just done without the discussion, without the approval, and know,
it's just not just without the approval. There are times when you see these people doing things and you think they're doing this intentionally just to make us mad. And I think they're doing it at times. I get tempted by the thought. They're doing it intentionally. They want to show us that they don't have to pay attention to what we think. They don't care about our values. They can do things and just rub our noses in it. We talked a little about this. They're going to turn some naval battleship into, they're going to name it Harvey Milk, after the gay activist who was murdered in San Francisco. All right? And I'm saying, oh, that's great. We got to make sure they paint the ship pink. Let's paint the ship pink. If we're going to name it after a homosexual, let's paint the ship pink. And all the sailors who work on that ship, they should be made to wear pink uniforms and with a feather boa. They should have a pink feather boa if they're going to be a seaman on the SS Harvey Milk. Can you imagine, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, this is, you
15,
write this.
Al.
You write this, and they say, you're crazy. That's science fiction. It's lunacy. This is never going to happen. No, here it is. It's happening. Right? And it was the sort of thing that would not even be imagined, conceived of. And it is not a step in the right direction. People are going to say, hey, hooray for the lesbian, gay, whatever they are, transgender and racist sort of thing. Hooray for them. We're expanding their rights. You're destroying this country. The truth of the matter is homosexuality is not a lifestyle. It's a death style. And the evidence of that is that the life expectancy for homosexuals back in the 80s.
That was a long time ago, Al.
Yeah,
you can't even keep reporting it because it was so long ago and things do change.
It may be that their life expectancy is not diminished as much as
it was. I think that was much related to AIDS and everything like that.
Sure it was, but it was also aided to drugs. It was aided.
I agree, but I don't think... that was such a long time ago. I'm not sure
that was such a long time ago.
Still apply.
Well, look up anyone who wants homosexual life expectancy. Google it. And you'll see that there's plenty of current information that supports the contention. It may be that back then, researchers, some of them, concluded that the average homosexual's life expectancy was diminished by as much as 30 years by engaging in that lifestyle. Today, maybe it's only 15. But I guarantee you, if the homosexual lifestyle could cause you to live an extra 5 years, you'd never hear the end of it. Right? Homosexuality is more lethal, on average, in my opinion, than smoking cigarettes. Cigarettes might take 5 years off your life expectancy. Homosexuality will probably take 10, 15. Right? And we're going to celebrate that, and we are teaching children that it's okay, it's a lifestyle choice. No, it's not. It's a form of slow suicide. And I don't care if people want to be gay or not. That is not my issue. But the idea that they can say, oh, it's just so gay to be gay, but you're going to lose 10, 15 years of life expectancy by making that lifestyle choice, all right? It's one of the reasons it is as irresponsible to advocate this alleged lifestyle as it is to teach children to smoke cigarettes. It's even more irresponsible. And it shouldn't be done. And it shouldn't be, again, Harvey Milk. My God. Not George Washington or George Patton or somebody. No, Harvey Milk on a battleship. I don't see. There's going to be a lot of strange things happen on that ship. That's just going to be a little too weird. So, in any case, there are times when you see this, and it's just as if they're doing it intentionally. They just say, what's this? Watch what I could do. I can make the public really aggravated. I can make them really angry.
But Al? No one seems to be really aggravated.
Nobody
That's
seems to be
problem.
Effectively aggravated. Nobody seems to be indignant about this sort of thing. It's just taken for granted. Like we were talking during the program, it's like a brand new game of America's Got Talent. Only instead of America's Got Talent, we have America's Got Lunatics, and they're up in Washington, D.C., and they're trying to put on a better show. I can do something really crazy. And the next guy comes along, oh, that was nothing. Watch this. I can do this. And every one of their acts, one way or another, does something contrary to the culture that made this country great. And they have some idea that we can just continue this and continue this, and or they seem to have the idea that we can continue this, I don't know, bizarre behavior. We can continue this and somehow the country's going to hold together. And I don't think
do
it
you
will.
Wanna, do you want to hear another bizarre news article today?
You only have one more?
For the show,
you
anyway.
You must have only read two.
We only have 10 minutes for this segment, and I figured we ought to talk about money. But the UN says they should tax meat until it is too expensive to eat. This is a new UN. You heard that? You read that one today?
Yes, in Technocracy News and Trends.
Yeah. Well, it's various places, but yeah. Because of global warming.
Yes.
Agriculture consumes 80% of water, and water in the U.S., most of that being for meat.
Well, meat.
So you don't want to feed those animals.
Yeah.
Plus, you also have agriculture today accounts for one-third of global greenhouse gas emissions that promote global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And half of those agriculture emissions come from livestock.
Yep.
So let's get rid of meat. Let's tax it till no one can eat it. Only the rich people can eat it. The very wealthy people, the elite. And I don't mean just the rich. I'm talking about the elite.
Are you talking about Soylent Green?
Yeah.
That was a meat byproduct. You may remember, I can't remember the Omega Man, I think was the name of the movie. Charlton Heston, and I don't remember who else. And it was the idea that the scoops are coming periodically, and they're like front end loaders, and they would catch people in the streets and scoop them up and throw them in the back of the truck. And it turns out they were processing people into Soylent Green, and that was their main source of nutrition. So they were eating other people in order to stay alive. But here's the thing from the UN.
Let me just this report says that livestock creates 14.5% of the greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change. I mean, like, really?
Yeah. Assuming we really do have climate change and the rest of that. And I'm not arguing we don't, the rest of it, but I'm just saying it's certainly a controversial subject. But they're not going to make you live in a protein-free world, folks.
No.
The UN has an alternative to meat. And people, they say, would be much more sustainable if they ate insect protein instead.
Yep.
Okay? So, I don't know. Cockroach. It's what's for dinner. Huh? How about that, Melody? Put a couple of cockroaches on the grill, on the Barbie. What is happening? You know, this is another one of those stories. My God, you think this is...
I know.
It's got to be a joke. This isn't real. No, this is apparently a true story.
It's a true story, and I don't even know how people could even come up with this. But this is something that they want to promote. It's just not an article. It's just that somebody's writing about it. Huh. This is a program that the UN...
That they're advocating at the UN.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But we're not going to have a homosexual, an avowed homosexual. His name won't... 10 years ago, we would never have a battleship with an avowed homosexual's name on it. Here we are. I mean, you're looking at a glimpse of the future. Insects, they're what's... it's bugs. It's what's for dinner.
I know. It's just. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of.
It's
out there.
Yeah, it's definitely out there. There's no question about that. Here's another one.
This is how these globalists think, though. This is how these elite think. You know, and they're everywhere in our lives. But
you know what they are? They're again.
Too much time on their hands with too much money.
You know, false premises lead to false conclusions. You get people in positions of power that have good intellect. Right? But if you can feed them a false premise, they accept it. The logic of that premise will take them to conclusions that are bizarre and perhaps even dangerous. But the logic of the premise, the logic that you'd say, okay, I believe this. Okay, if you pick up a particular system of belief, it will necessarily take you to certain conclusions. Either they'll take you, it'll take you to these conclusions, or you'll have to abandon that original premise. Well, we have people in positions of power who have good intelligence in a lot of instances, and yet they wind up with bizarre premises, and they follow them, and they follow them, and they follow them. As long as they assume that premise is true, they can lead you to disaster. From my perspective, classic example would be the people who sat back and said, oh, a debt-based monetary system. This is genius. This is brilliant. It's never been done before. We're so smart. This is assuming they gave us a debt-based monetary system for benign reasons. Maybe they were smart enough to see, we'll give them a debt-based monetary system, and that will destroy them for sure. It'll take a few decades, but it'll get them. Maybe that's what they were thinking about. Maybe they thought, this is genius. We got this. We're under control now. We can run the economy. We can keep everybody happy. All we have to do is use a debt-based monetary system. As long as they accept that premise and they keep on operating, they say, well, debt-based monetary system, that must be good. It will take us to things like negative interest rates. It will take us to things like perpetual bonds, which I wrote about just this last week, and we talked about last week on the program. Perpetual bonds. It's the idea that you get a bond, right? The government can issue bonds that will be a perpetual bond, meaning they'll never pay interest on the bond, and they'll never redeem the principal. So you could give $100,000 to the government, and the government would give you a bond, only it would never pay interest, and you'll never get your 100 grand back. And people are seriously talking about this. Intelligent, well-educated people are talking about this, and they should be saying, are you out of your effing minds? And he said, no, this is reasonable. Well, it is reasonable if you accept the premise of debt-based money or currency. If you accept that premise, it will lead you to conclusions that are just, it's like science fiction, and yet here we are. Got an article here from Go Banking Rates. 64% of Americans don't have $1,000 in emergency savings. A new survey conducted by the National Foundation for Credit Counseling found that a whopping 64% of Americans don't have $1,000 in their savings accounts to cover emergency expenses. These individuals said they would unfortunately have to turn to an outside source to ask for money if an unexpected expense popped up. They'd have to borrow it. They'd have to pawn something. They'd have to go to their parents or relatives or friends or something to try to borrow the money if they had an emergency cost over $1,000. They have a graph here. How much money is in your savings account? For people who have less than $1,000, $0 to $999, there are 28%. All right? For people who have $1,000 to $5,000, we have 8.9%. For people who have $5,000 to $10,000, we have 4.2%, and we have 44%. 10,000 or more, excuse me, almost 14% have 10,000 or more in their savings account, but 44% of the country have nothing in their savings account. Now, those numbers scare me. I think we're coming toward big trouble in this country. We may not get to it for another year or two. We might get to it before the end of this year. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we're headed in that direction. And people who enter that trouble with virtually no savings are going to be in great peril. If there's one thing I can recommend to people more than anything else, you got to make it your business to save every dime you possibly can and save it in a medium that is actually trustworthy, and that won't be bonds, stocks, it won't be paper, and it won't be paper, and it will be gold and silver. We'll take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
one is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got a little article here from Gains and Pains. That's the name of this newsletter. And the headline is, another triple-digit 2008 trade setup has just hit. Headline's not very clear. I don't necessarily agree with everything. I agree with the tone and basic conclusions. I don't necessarily agree with all the facts Pains and Gains presents here, and I'll show you why when we get into this. It says, for 7 years, the world operated under a complete delusion that central banks somehow fixed the 2008 crisis. Right? We're going to be recovery, going to be what? It's all under control. No, that's not true. This hasn't been fixed. All of their arguments claiming this defied common sense. A fifth grader could tell you that you cannot solve a debt problem by issuing more debt. All right? And there I agree with them. All right? I mean, the whole problem is this debt-based monetary system, and when we begin to have too much debt, their solution is to implement more debt. This thing's going to blow up in our faces, folks. It's like trying to put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it. It's not going to work. It's only going to make things worse. So they go on, they say, so it's a little surprise that no one would admit the facts, that the Federal Reserve and other central banks not only don't have a clue to how to fix the problem, but they actually have almost no incentive to do so. I disagree that they have no clue. I think they understand the problem. But what are you going to do? The Federal Reserve is the central banks in general. And the Federal Reserve and their global debt-based monetary system, those are the problems. The solution to the problem is to eliminate the debt-based monetary system. But we can't eliminate the debt-based monetary system without also eliminating the Federal Reserve and other central banks. It's their only product. You know, obviously the Federal Reserve and other central banks, which have nothing to offer the world other than their debt-based currency, they're not about to eliminate debt-based currencies, because if they do, they must destroy themselves. The central banks are the problem. The debt-based currency is the problem. And the people that we're dealing with, the central banks, they have nothing to offer us but more debt-based currency. They don't want to admit that this is the problem. It's their only product. If they admit that the problem is the the debt-based currency that they've been providing for the last several generations. They make that admission. They're going to have to admit that they're the bad guys. They're the villains. They can't do that, and it's part of the reason why this problem proliferates and no one seems to get a handle on it. Why is it we haven't been able to fix this? Why haven't we had a recovery? And the answer is we have a system that has a systemic flaw that extends around the globe. It's not just here in the United States. It goes around the world, and the essence of that flaw, in my opinion, is the debt-based currency. Again, if you want to get rid of the problem, get rid of the central banks. But don't imagine, don't dream, don't fantasize that the central banks are capable of solving or even admitting the problem, because they are the problem. Now, according to Gaines and Paynes, they continue and they say the real problem for the financial system is the bond bubble. Well, I agree that the bond bubble is a big problem. But from my perspective, they might be right, I might be wrong, but from my perspective, the problem is the debt-based monetary system. That's the central problem. They say the real problem is the bond bubble.
The bond bubble was created by the debt.
I understand. I think we wouldn't
have a bond bubble if we didn't have the other problem.
I don't think we could have any bubbles to speak of if it weren't for a debt-based monetary system, because what inflates these bubbles? And it is credit, which is to say debt. Every time we have a bubble, it's because too much of this debt-based currency flowed into a particular kind of investment. If we had gold and silver, we can't afford to be stupid. We can't afford to be frivolous. We can't afford to invest in things that are likely to lose our wealth. When we have debt-based, all you have to do is make a promise. That's all debt-based is. It's promised-based currency. Somebody promises, oh, yeah, I'll pay that. I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $1 trillion, whatever. Make a promise. There. It's that easy. If you have the proper credit rating like government, you can make a promise for $1 trillion and nobody winks. Nobody blinks. But if you're using gold or silver, your promise is worthless. I'm not interested in your promise. I'm interested in your productivity. What have you earned? How much money have you saved? How much can you actually spend? Not borrow, spend. How much do you have of your own? That's evidence that you are worthy of buying something. This debt-based system is just a kind of madness, but it's what fills these bubbles. These bubbles would never be inflated. They would not exist to any significant degree if the world had to inflate them with real gold or real silver. People that have brains up say, that's crazy. I'm not putting all that, not putting real money into these bonds. But if it's just debt-based currency that can be spun out of thin air, why not? Any case, their first, the real problem is the bond bubble. You know, I have a different opinion. Then they go on number two, derivatives market that uses this bond bubble as collateral is over $555 trillion in size. And I agree. All right. This derivatives market is another insanity that flows from you pick up some stupid premise, garbage in, garbage out. False premises lead to false conclusions. They picked up a false premise. One of the false premises and the primary false premise is that a debt-based currency can replace an asset-based money, and it just can't. And once you embrace that original premise, we can do this with debt-based currency. Derivatives, in my opinion, are one of the logical consequences. They make perfect sense if you accept the debt-based monetary premise. Accept that premise? Sooner or later, you'll get to derivatives. Now they're over $555 trillion in size. And what's the global economy? That's about 10 times the size of the global economy. This is a formula for disaster. We have been led there by logic, but logic applied to false premises. You go on, number three, many of the large multinational corporations, sovereign governments, and even municipalities have used derivatives to fake earnings and hide debt. All right? They don't even know how big a problem it is with using derivatives to fake earnings and hide debt, but they point out in their article that 20% of the CEOs of major corporations have admitted that they essentially cook the books in order to create false appearances of the profitability of their corporations. And that's 20% who've admitted it in a valid survey, and they speculate that it could be a lot more than that who won't make the admissions. They go on, corporations are more leveraged than they were in 2007. When corporate bonds were $3.5 trillion, today they're $7 trillion. So it's doubled in the past 9 years. That doesn't necessarily scare me. That's not good. I understand it's trouble. But given 9-year period and rate of inflation and everything else that's going on, I'm not convinced that doubling from $3.5 trillion to $7 trillion is necessarily catastrophic. It's bad. All right, it's not going to do us good, but I'm not convinced it's necessarily catastrophic, although it may be. They think big gains and pains think it is catastrophic. I'm not yet convinced. Central banks are now all leveraged at levels greater or equal to Lehman Brothers when it imploded. The Fed is leveraged at 78 to 1. The European Central Bank is leveraged at over 26 to 1. Lehman Brothers was leveraged at 30 to 1. They're telling us that the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, this European Central Bank is about as messed up as Lehman Brothers was before it went under. And the Federal Reserve is actually more than twice as bad as Lehman Brothers was. I don't know. Again, this is the sort of thing, are we comparing apples to apples or apples to oranges? The Federal Reserve is something of an illusion. I'm not here to defend it, but I recognize it can maybe get away with some things that Lehman Brothers could not. But it's still bad business. Finally, central banks have no idea how to exit their strategies. Fed minutes released in 2009 showed Janet Yellen was worried about how to exit when the Fed's balance sheet was $1.3 trillion. Today it's over $4.5 trillion. They have no exit strategy. I agree with that. They have no exit strategy because the only way to get out of this mess is get rid of debt-based currency. If we get rid of debt-based currency, get rid of Federal Reserve notes. All right? We're going to have to only lend money to the government from people who actually have money, not credit. And it can't be based on just credit. Somebody's got to put up some real money, gold or silver. The whole system goes down if they get rid of the debt-based currency. So how do the central banks have no idea how to exit? How do they get rid of how to exit their strategies? They can't without destroying the one product, their one and only product, which is debt-based currencies. Well, I don't know. Melody, did you have something you want to jump in there with?
No, I mean, I agree with the idea that the central banks, they can't. It's not that they don't have an idea.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm, yeah.
They can't exit their strategies.
Yeah,
there's
they can't.
No way they can't.
They can't exit without admitting that they're the bad guys. They're
not
the ones
that
put us in this mess.
Yeah, so we're at a point in time where this is going to play out. I think we're getting close to the end where the system will collapse. I mean, you can hear about all these, you know, all people talk about, well, you know, we need to fix this. We need to bring good jobs, good paying jobs back to this country. We need to do this. We
oh,
need to
yeah.
do that. None of that can be done until this problem is fixed, until it fixes itself. And if those in charge decide to go the right road or the wrong road once again. So this is the stem of the problem. This is the heart of the
and
problem.
It's why we've painted ourselves into a corner that we will not exit gracefully
no.
or painlessly. This is going to be a terrible problem, and those of you who do not prepare yourself by leaving as much as you can the debt-based monetary system, I'm not saying you can't use Federal Reserve notes to go buy groceries and whatever, I get that. But you need to start moving your wealth from Federal Reserve notes, debt-based monetary debt-based currency into something that is asset-based, and that would include gold and silver coins.
Earlier,
when this thing goes down, you're relying on paper, you are going to be in big, big trouble.
And so many folks are so concerned about the banks, as you should be. Just today, I was on a different program, another program, caller had said that he tried to withdraw over $10,000 to mm-hmm. buy a piece of equipment, and he wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
People are concerned about that. They hear these stories. But yet people feel kind of safe with your retirement accounts, with your 401s. You feel, for some reason, you feel a little more comfortable. Well, you're scared to death of the banks. But yet you feel, and folks, you need
to be scared. If you can't get your money out of the banks, what
makes
you think you're going to get your money out of banks?
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think? You think your brokers are actually going to be able to process your sell trades and get you a check when the system collapses?
Oh, they might get you a check, but it won't be for as much as you were hoping for.
And
you might have expected to get $3,000 a month, and guess what? Well, we're only going to let you take $800 a month. What's the difference between that and a bank that says, no, you can't take $10,000 out of your bank account?
And you know what, folks? It's hard to believe it can happen here in the United States, but it's going to.
It's as crazy as a battleship named after some homosexual got killed.
I mean, we hear about in Italy and Greece and Cyprus and places that we haven't heard about. Look what's happened in Venezuela. I mean, every place. That's what we talk about. There's so much turmoil everywhere. And it's all generated from this debt-based
currency system.
Exactly.
That's where it flows from. The whole thing is mad.
It will
That's how
come
we got this
and you
enormous
know what, folks?
Debt.
You know what, Al? We are also part of that heart. This is it. This is the beast. So we will be affected by it.
Nobody's going to escape.
No
this,
one
but
will escape.
Some will do better than others, and some may not even survive. If you want to survive, you're going to have to prepare and get ready for it.
If you want to gamble,
get yourself
Vegas.
put your wealth into pieces of paper. But the whole idea we've got. You know, this is the danger in this debt-based monetary system. It's all based on nothing but promises. We don't need productivity. All we need are promises. I promise to pay. Good enough. Here's a house. I promise to pay. Good enough. Here's a car. Here's whatever. It can't be that way. You must produce something. And you must, and I must, and Melody must. We have to provide some sort of productive effort in our lives. You can't just, and we have a I'll bet you a third of the population doesn't think we actually have to produce anything. These people are going to have they're in for a terrible lesson. I mean, they're going to be hurt badly. So what do? You do what you can to take care of yourself first and foremost. Get right with the good Lord. That would be the first thing.
Absolutely.
Take care of yourself and your family and hunker down and get ready for some serious problems and try to encourage your neighbors to take care of themselves. Because if they don't, they're going to be looking for you. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. In a rich man's world, money, 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 always sunny.